All right, so imagine 1 minute you're with your family, you're going about your business when you get a tap on the shoulder. The next thing you know, you're spirited away by uniformed men, detained in a small room, the charges legally murky. Guantanamo? No, a Kmart on Long Island. This is what happened to Laura Landreau. She was shopping with her family when she accidentally slipped some flip-flops into the wrong box. She got busted and found out all about justice, Kmart style. Laura Landreau also happens to be assistant managing editor of the Wall Street Journal, and she wrote about her experience in detention in a great piece called The Accidental Thief. Laura Landreau joins us now. Hi, Laura.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. So set this up. You're with your family. You're on Long Island. You're at Kmart.
Right. And you're shopping.
You're buying over $800 worth of stuff, but you just couldn't
keep
your... People
have said, how could you have bought $800 worth of stuff in Kmart?
Yeah, what did you buy? The entire store? Did you buy the sign?
It was back to school, pre-Christmas shopping. We had carts full of things, and we were in the Land's End department where they have Sears owns Land's End as well, and we bought some... We were looking for some flip-flops, and it was one of these typical discount store disarrays. Shoes everywhere, boxes overturned, everything out of its box, nothing in the right box, and I found a pair of flip-flops for one of my stepdaughters in the perfect color that she'd been looking for, and I wanted to give it to her as a gift, but it had no box. So I found what I believed to be a size 9 box, which had like a little baby shoe in it, and I said, this must be the correct box. And, of course, I didn't look at the price. The boxes were all the same. The flip-flops are all the same.
As you wrote in your piece, when I'm at Kmart, I don't really look at the box. I figure whatever it is going to be cheaper than
Neiman Marcus. Well, yeah, it is true. I mean, perhaps I should have scrutinized it more closely. I mean, believe me, there were a lot of, I should have done this and I should have done that. And also, again, you know, there was no sales help, and it was just kind of a disaster, and I thought I was getting myself the right box, and the shoes that were in the box were not the right box. So I basically...
So you get up to the checkout, and you got all this stuff, and you buy everything, and you're walking out of the store, and what happens?
Well, I got a little tap on the shoulder, and it was one of those, ma'am, will you step back inside with me? And I said, what's the problem? And he said, well, you've got your shoes in the wrong box, so could you come back inside? And, of course, I did go back inside, and the next thing you know, I'm back in the back of the store, and asking what's happening, and they've accused me of deliberately switching boxes. And it turns out that the box, even though it was the same-looking box, it was a child-sized box, and the price difference was $8.
Right, and so you were now in Kmart. You were on Kmart's turf now.
Yes,
had you in the
background. And, you know, as a reporter, you know, what happened to me, I figure it could have happened to anybody, and it's one of those things where this could have remained a story to tell my friends and family, but I just decided, you know, I have to go out and report this like a story and find out, why did this happen to me? Because it was really kind of a humiliating experience, and it was kind of Kafka-esque, you know. I mean, if Homeland Security were as good as these guys, we'd be catching a lot more people, I suppose. But
what's the deal? Could they just hold you there as long as they wanted? Could you have walked out?
You know, I tried to, but a really big guy got in front of the door, so I didn't.
Wow.
You know, they have something called merchant's privilege, which is a statute that enables merchandisers, you know, retailers, to protect their merchandise, basically. And, you know, the cops can't be in every store. This is basically, if a merchant believes that a crime's in progress, they have the right to detain and question a shopper and to conduct a, quote, reasonable investigation. Now, of course, security experts, you know, that I interviewed said, you know, it happens all the time. They become overzealous. They think they saw something. Or there's an innocent mistake that somebody's made, and then that's called a bad detention or a bad stop. And sometimes that puts them in legal jeopardy, particularly if they manhandle somebody or if they really, you know, detain someone for longer than they should. And they also have something called civil recovery. So basically I was told, look, you know, I denied doing it. I tried to put the onus on them. Why didn't you have a sales help? Why were your things in disarray? Why wasn't this caught at the register like every other store I've ever been in when there's a discrepancy in pricing?
Right. What did they say?
They didn't buy. They basically said, look, we saw what you did. And they actually said, people like you come in here all the time and do this, because I was trying to, you know.
Like you?
Like me.
Journalists
like,
come in and do this all the time.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it was like the Winona Ryder thing, I guess. Basically, you know, I kept saying, well, I'm an upstanding citizen. I live here. I just bought $800 worth of stuff. We're not, you know, I'm not, do I look like a criminal? And basically, you know, in some ways, and as I said in the story, they did their job to the, it was no racial profiling. It wasn't race, sex, age. It was basically a pattern of behavior. Ticket switching is something that I later learned happens so commonly in stores. There are whole organized retail theft gangs that do this.
Yeah.
So basically, you may be innocent, but you're in a setting where people are not innocent all the time. time, and there's no presumption of innocence in retail.
I had somebody actually accuse me of doing that once when I tried to return something. Yeah. The ticket switching thing.
Oh, people do the returning things. I mean, people will buy the same piece of merchandise, steal another one, and then try to return that with the receipt they used for the. So there's all kinds of scams, and these security people have heard them all. So if you innocently put yourself in jeopardy, which is pretty much what I did, you really put yourself at risk. It's almost like there's a list of things you have to be really careful for. Don't let your kid eat candy walking through the store, you know, just to keep them quiet. If you forget to pay for that candy when you go through the register, you know, they can nab you. Or if you stick those paper towels at the bottom of the card and they don't see it and you forget about it. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can run afoul of these different statutes.
So basically, these big stores, if they think you did something wrong, whether or not they can even prove it at that moment, they can detain you.
Absolutely, they can.
They can try to make you pay up to five times the cost of what they think
you've stolen.
That's
called civil recovery, and they'll send you a letter. And it's five times not only the cost of the item, but what they determined to be their cost of detaining and investigating. And by the way, the police, when this is not a police matter. It was like, again, it was something it never would have seen the light of day, but it felt to me like, it was like getting cancer. Once I got it, I felt I had to tell everybody what you had to know to kind of get through it.
Is this something that stores are doing more and more? If I understand, something like 40, is it 40 million or 40
billion? 40
billion. 40
billion.
With a B.
Billion. Yes, yeah.
And
it's estimated, that's shrinkage. So that's a combination of shoplifting, employee theft, their own mistakes and mispricing and forgetting to mark things down, that sort of thing. And shrinkage is the difference between the inventory you're supposed to have in your books and what you've really got in there. And what's gone is what's been stolen or lost.
So they're getting – because it seems like – I remember when I was a kid, if you got popped trying to take something, they usually would call your parents. And even with adults, they wouldn't often prosecute the stuff, I think, because it's just like not worth it. But
right.
They're getting tougher?
Right. Well, it is getting tougher. Walmart recently said that it used to prosecute by calling in the police anybody over 18, and now it's over 16. So they are getting tougher. Now, in a case like this where there wasn't, like actual physical walking out the door with something, the police were never called, and it was a matter of civil recovery. And sometimes they won't send the civil recovery letter. I've yet to receive one, and this happened in August.
Well, at least at the end of all of this embarrassment, you got these great flip-flops, right?
No, I never got the flip-flops. That was I thought that they took my credit card, they took my driver's license, and I thought that they were going to – I signed it, and I thought I'm just paying whatever the extra $8 was. And then when I got home with all my merchandise, I went to give my stepdaughter her flip-flops, and they weren't there. So I actually called the guy back, and I said, so what happened to my flip-flops? He says, well, we didn't give them. We didn't let you have them. We gave you a credit for the price that you did pay.
Aren't you banned from going back to the store?
And I am banned from ever returning to Kmart ever
to redeem
again.
Your picture's on some poster somewhere? Don't let this lady in?
It could be, But Target's looking, I always like Target better anyway.
Oh, gosh.
There isn't one in the Hamptons. So.
Laura Landreau, Assistant Managing Editor of the Wall Street Journal. Laura, keep your nose clean, all right?
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.